All right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. every weekday morning. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and my main man, Steve Cochran, at 6 for your morning drive. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. We're going to be talking about the greatest talk show hosts ever, and maybe get into great talk show guests, too. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You can also text us at there. Follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected, though, is on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. All right. Dan Long is in for Dan Shugrue. He'll be back tomorrow morning. Dan took the morning off. So Dan Long is filling in. And thank you, Dan.
Yes, sir.
Do you watch some TV? Do you have a favorite TV talk show host?
Of all time? Or...
Yeah,
I mean, I've been a Conan guy since I was like old enough to stay up,
yeah,
and watch talk shows. So I've, you know, even though he's kind of retooling things on his show now, I understand. I mean, his late night show shaped my sense of humor. Mm-hmm. So I'll always be a Conan guy.
Big Conan guy. Yeah, I like Conan. I think Conan's great. You know, and yeah, I think Conan's great, and he ranks pretty high on this. I have a list in front of me of the 32 greatest talk show hosts. He comes in nine. He comes in at number nine, so that's pretty high.
Yeah,
and that makes sense. The thing I mean, I've always liked Conan. I've always thought Conan was really great, and it was weird too because when he first got the gig, you know, after Letterman left and then went over to CBS, nobody knew who Conan O'Brien was.
Right.
You know, he was a writer. He wrote for The Simpsons and stuff like that, but nobody really knew. You know, who the guy was. And I remember when he first came on the air, it was all pretty negative. Like, people were like, who is this guy? Who's he think he is? He can't fill in. He can't fill the shoes of David Letterman. And it was a rough go at the beginning. But then, you know, he totally caught on.
Yeah.
And got a really impassioned following, you know. And, I mean, you know, because some of the stuff that he did on that show was great, and it was weird, Triumph, the insult comic dog, came out of that. You know, that's where Smigel got his start.
Smigel was the head writer there,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Yeah, Smigel, who is one of the funniest writers ever, yeah. And I mean, what can you say about Triumph? I mean, that's just like one of the greatest characters of all time, and. So yeah, I mean, no, Conan's up there. I think he's really, really great. What do they say about him here? Why would they put him at number nine? So he's in the top 10, which is pretty impressive. So here we are. Here's how dire it was for Conan O'Brien. Bob Denver canceled. when a sitcom actor 35 years past his prime can't be bothered to sit in your show's padded armchair, you're circling the drain. O'Brien was a top comedy writer with little performing experience when NBC hired him to replace David Letterman on Late Night in 1993. After Gary Shandling, Dana Carvey, and half of Hollywood turned down the job, O'Brien was jumpy and overeager, and when ratings dropped, the network fired him, only to realize that they didn't have anyone to take his place. David Letterman visited the show to give it... And the ratings slowly rose. O'Brien's plan was to stage a traditional talk show, but with all the elements twisted. Eventually, his ratings were good enough that NBC promised him the network's prize job hosting The Tonight Show. He lasted only a few months, barely long enough to shoot a wax model of Tom Cruise out of a cannon, and was pushed out when Jay Leno agreed to sit back in the big chair. Though a naturally easygoing man, he was now angry, which added a new and wonderful danger to his final NBC shows, including the piercing jibe. I just want to say to the kids out there, you can do anything you want in life unless Jay Leno wants to do it too.
That was some good stuff, that last week of the Tonight Show.
I have to say, I was so angry about that, about NBC, about, I mean, I can't stand Jay Leno. You know, there was a time actually, to be honest with you, there was a time when Jay Leno was funny. Like years and years ago when he used to do Letterman's show, when Letterman had the late night show, they were buddies. They were close friends. They did the comedy circuit, and Leno was funny, and Leno had an edge. all of which disappeared when he started, you know, guest hosting The Tonight Show. And then when he got the gig, you know, but then, so they give the gig to Conan and then they take it away from him. I was so angry. And you know, the idea that they gave Leno the primetime spot, like every night at 9 o'clock Leno was going to be on.
Yeah, what a weird experiment that
was. So stupid. And it obviously cut into the kind of guests that Conan could get being on at 10:30. So you've got Leno on at 9 in primetime for an hour, taking away the guests that that Conan could get.
Yeah.
For the Tonight Show. And then he takes away the guy's job. Now, I was furious. I remember I was really, I mean, because I've never really liked Leno. I mean, I did, like back in the 70s and the early 80s, I thought Leno was very funny. But once he started doing The Tonight Show and he got the gig, nothing.
He didn't really do anything.
No, he's nothing.
Now, but, did you read the book about that whole ordeal?
The Late Shift?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the guy that wrote The Late Shift wrote a book about the Leno Conan thing too.
Oh, I didn't read that.
Yeah, that's a pretty.
I bet
it's a pretty interesting look and just the business of television. If you're at all interested in,
I loved the book and I loved the HBO movie, The Late Shift. That I thought that was great.
I didn't realize Letterman, the guy that plays Letterman, is John Michael Higgins,
yeah.
Who's in like a bunch of stuff now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's in a ton of stuff. He also hosts a game show,
and he looks nothing like David Letterman.
No, they put a little gap between his teeth. And then the guy who played Leno was, why am I blanking on the guy's name?
Daniel Roebuck.
Daniel Roebuck, yeah. And he was good, too. I thought you know who kicked ass in that movie?
Kathy Bates?
Yes. She was unbelievable in that movie. And, all the Leno hiding in a closet. I mean, all that stuff was just crazy when all that went down, you know? So, but yeah, Conan, he's great. There's no question about it. He's great. So now this list that I have, they also have like fictional talk show hosts on here. So coming in at number 28 is Space Ghost, which is a fantastic show. Which is Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
I haven't seen enough of that, but I know. I mean, I've always been aware of it, but
yeah,
because that was like the heyday of Adult Swim,
yes,
right?
Yes. And his sidekick, Zorak, was the king. He was the best. Yeah, and it was only like 14 minutes long or something, like each episode, because that was Adult Swim.
Right.
Specialized in stuff that wasn't, it was just weird and not, like for instance, the, why am I blanking on
Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Yes, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, which of course was genius. That show was absolute genius. And I remember, I'll never forget seeing the movie. Do you remember the movie?
Yeah.
The Aqua Teen Hunger Force movie? Like they made a movie? And I remember, so I saw it the Friday night it opened. My ex-wife and I went, and we're both huge Aqua Teen fans. And, you could just feel, it was at the river, we went to the River East, okay? And you could just feel the audience going, what the hell is this? Because, I mean, there were Aqua Teen fans in the audience, and they got it. But there were a lot of people who, I guess, didn't really know what was happening.
Some of the general population trickled in.
Just like, what is this? You know, like, you could just feel it. People in the room going, what is this? The hell is this? Does this even qualify as a movie? And I laughed my butt off. But Space Ghost was funny. Space Ghost, it says here, and you thought Chevy Chase's show was awful. Space Ghost was a vain, dim-witted Saturday morning cartoon superhero who tried to revive his career with a talk show filmed in outer space. But his attempts to interview B-list celebrities were undermined by backstage bickering and his uncooperative sidekick, Zorak, the sarcastic director, Moltar, both of whom he's imprisoned. With non sequiturs, outward hostility, and absurdist interludes, Space Ghost Coast to Coast mocked every talk show that preceded it, and the mesmerizing show's cult status on Cartoon Network. The show's appeal, aside from the meta-comedy, was the sense that he was the only host who told the truth. See you at the auto show, he barked dismissively at Adam West, the has-been actor who who played Batman in the 60s, something every host has surely fantasized about saying. Yeah, Space Ghost was funny. That was a really, really funny show. And big laughs. And, the treatment of the guests was always hilarious. So what do you guys think? 312-981-7200. Who would you put on the list of best talk show hosts ever? We got a lot here to talk about, and it's not just late night shows. There are also daytime shows here to talk about. So if you want to jump in for any and all talk show hosts that you love, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Why don't we take a break? When we'll come back, we'll jump to the phones and to the texts and talk about your favorite talk show hosts right here on 720 WGN. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. It's Monday morning. That means my dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey, jokey time. We have yet another unfortunate Black Hawks Express to play. It's depressing, Dan. It's damn depressing.
Ugh. Yeah. Ugh. I don't have any other contribution.
No, it's just not good, man. I mean, this is just terrible. So, but yeah, we're going to play Back the Express, and that'll be fun. And we're here until 5 a.m., and we're talking about great talk show hosts. Hey, speaking of, we were talking about Conan, and I want to go back and, because some of the recurring characters that they had on Conan were so great.
Yeah.
There was Preparation H Harry. Was that his
Raymond.
Name?
Preparation H Raymond.
Right, Preparation H Raymond. And that guy, by the way, Brian McCann is his name. From here, and actually was I wrote for wrote for, he had a weekend a radio show right here in the Loop, and did theater here.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah. A lot. I mean, Conan lived here for a while, as you know, and so they became buddies, and that's how he hired him, and he was one of the head writers, one of the main writers on the show, but he played like three or four different characters.
Yeah, they would mix in the writers pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm trying to think of some of the other bits that they... What were some of your other favorites?
Well, Brian Stack was one of the other, like, big writers that they had there. And he did the... he was like an old-time radio guy because they were in Rockefeller Center where NBC Radio used to be. And he would sit, you know, he would start by saying, oh, nobody wants to hear my old songs. And then he'd go into the songs and they would always end up... The first one would be misogynist.
Right.
And then the the second one would be ripping on the poor, and then the third one would be making fun of the Irish.
Right.
So they were always like horribly offensive, and Conan would be outraged by the end of the bit.
That's funny. Yeah. No, they did some good bits on that show, you know? But yeah, I just Preparation H Raymond. I never got sick of that. The big ears and the
vomiting Kermit, the puppet. It was just a puppet with a hose.
That was the masturbating bear.
Yes,
which he couldn't take. Remember when he moved to TBS, they said that he couldn't take it because it was intellectual property of NBC.
Yeah, and then I think eventually somehow they
got him.
They eventually got him.
Yeah, but at first because NBC was giving him such a hard time. I mean, you know, because he's going to go to why wouldn't he go to TBS? You know what I mean? Why wouldn't he leave after the way they treated him?
Right.
You know, I remember watching the first few Tonight shows too, and I was like, I thought he's doing a good job, and I was happy for him. You know, that was really just mean. So
yeah, he was in a bad position.
Yeah,
just because of they never should have arranged that years out anyway, because Leno had no intention of retiring. He's a workaholic. He didn't want to retire.
The other thing is that the way Dave handled it. You know, because Dave's on the outside. You know, he's on CBS now.
Yeah.
Do you remember the way Dave handled it?
He was a pig in mud.
Oh, my God. Was it fantastic to watch Letterman during that whole thing? One of my favorites is, you know what? See if you can find the audio. But it was a bit called Don't Blame Jay. Or no, Don't Blame Conan. It was that was the bit that he did. It was like, for God's sake, don't blame Conan. That was the that was the message that Letterman had. He had a field day with it. But yeah,
I got it here.
You got it? Okay.
NBC Tonight Show thing, because Honestly, folks, I don't have a dog in this fight. But here's the deal. I've known Jay Leno for, I don't know, 35 years, a long, long time. Mm. And we used to buddy around in the old days. And what we're seeing now is kind of vintage Jay. And it's enjoyable for me to see this. It's like, hey, there he is. There's the guy I know. And I just thought, well, I better keep my mouth shut because I, you know, Lord knows I got my own problems.
Yeah.
I got my own problems. But I just can't help myself. And, and while it's true I don't specifically have a dog in this fight, I think that in some way I and Paul are responsible for the mess that's taking place over there now.
We're responsible.
Yes, because of the big stink that we created when we left NBC.
We left it big.
Years and years ago, they said, okay, well, that'll never happen again.
Right.
So,
well, that's why Jay says he was going to retire 5 years ago just to avoid that.
That's right. They wanted to avoid another transitional brouhaha. Yeah. If I can invoke a little French.
Please do. Anytime.
So last night, Jay gave his State of the Network speech.
He did.
And
State of the Network. State of the Network.
And I saw...
State of the Network speech.
And he said that we should not blame Conan for what's going on.
Don't blame Conan.
Don't blame Conan for what's going on. And I said to myself, no one is blaming Conan.
I was going to say, no one.
And he further elucidated that who we should actually blame are Conan's agents and managers. We should blame them because this is what they do. And then Jay pointed out that he himself has no agent or manager. So I'm begging you, ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of everyone involved, please don't blame Conan.
Don't blame Conan.
Please. Okay? I know a lot of you people think that Conan pushed himself out of a job.
Well, don't blame him.
He's not that kind of guy. He would never do that to himself.
You're saying this is vintage Jay.
Please don't.
Blame.
Okay, that's all I got.
Okay. All right. So there you go. So he goes on a little bit longer. He says, please don't blame Conan like seven more times during the course. And I remember vividly watching that and laughing my butt off during it. So anyway, good old Dave. We'll get back to more talk about we're doing the greatest talk show hosts of all time. Not just late night, daytime, all of that stuff. Who do you guys love? 312-981-7200. The news is next.
5, 4, 3, 2. The Larry Sanders Show. Tonight, join Larry and his guests, John Lovett, Lyle Lovett, Steve Duchesne, and me, hey now, Hank Kingsley. And now, because we've tried it with just the desk, and it really isn't the same.
Nice job,
Larry Sanders. You said fictional host for game.
He's number seven.
Fair game for this, too.
He's number seven on the list.
Really?
Yeah.
Good.
One of the greatest TV shows of all time.
Oh, yeah.
One of the funniest, most brilliant TV shows of all time. And it all happened because Gary Shandling didn't get the gig. You know what I mean? Like in real life.
Oh, right. That's right. He was up for the
Tonight Show and he didn't get it. And so that's how Larry Sanders was created. We're talking about TV talk show hosts. 312-981-7200. Vic, do you have any favorite TV talk show hosts?
David Letterman.
Letterman, right? Yeah. He's the best. Legend.
Yeah, I get annoyed by a lot of the other ones, to be honest with you. But I've always loved David Letterman.
Yeah, he was the best, and his show on Netflix is terrific.
I have started watching that. Yeah. I actually forgot I was watching that. I'm gonna have to get back on that.
Yeah, if you need your Letterman fix, because you know when he was gone for a while, I was like, hey, I need a and then he went out and grew the beard.
Yeah,
didn't care what he looked like. I love him. But now, did you ever watch Larry Sanders on HBO? With Gary Shandling?
Oh, no, but I watched the documentary about it and learned tons of stuff about him. And, yeah, he's...
Well, he was He was just, I mean, Gary Shandling was one of the best ever. But that Larry Sanders Show was so funny and
hilarious.
Rip Torn, come on now.
And his stand-up stuff, I had never watched either, Gary Shandling talking about. Not to get away from the subject, but gosh, man, his stand-up was so good.
He was brilliant. Gary Shandling was brilliant and taken from us way too soon. I loved Gary Shandling. He was one of those, and it's Gary Shandling's show, which was on Fox, where he broke the fourth wall and drove around in the golf cart. In the theme song, this is Larry. This is Gary Shandling's show. This is Gary Shandling's theme song.
Right,
that's great. But yeah, Larry Sanders was funny, man. And that whole thing, that whole subplot involving David Duchovny. I mean, come on now, David Duchovny having a crush on Larry Sanders. And it really is about, you know, I mean, Larry Sanders is one of the most, you know, insecure people in the history of the world, and that shown all the time. Here's what they say about Shandling. New talk shows after a stint as a sitcom writer. He turned to stand-up with successful appearances on The Tonight Show, leading to a gig as one of Johnny's recurring guest hosts in the 80s. In 1992, Shandling mined that desk gig to create Sanders for HBO, lampooning with deadpan accuracy the glorious vanities of late night. Starring Shandling as Sanders, Rip Torn as Artie, and Jeffrey Tambor as Hank Haynow Kingsley, the show was nominated for 56 Emmys during its six-year run. Wow! Today, with more late-night options and dwindling Big Three network audiences, celebrities no longer have to genuflect before talk show hosts as they did to Sanders, but Shandling's skewering of the showbiz narcissism and insecurity remain eternal. Yeah, that was one of those shows, you know, when they would do marathons of them, because sometimes HBO would just, you know, go, like, do a whole, like, weekend where it was nothing but Larry Sanders on HBO. I would sit there for hours and watch it, because he was just brilliant. And all of the celebrity people who would be on the show, they got it. They totally, you know, understood the sense of humor, skewered themselves. I mean, obviously, besides David Duchovny, there were a ton of other real celebrities who would be on the show. And yeah, and it's great. It's just to this day, and it's still very funny and still very timely today, even though it's, you know, they made it like 20 years ago, over 20, 25 years ago was when it was really made.
I was trying to figure out why didn't I ever watch that when it was on? Because I think if he was on now, I would watch it every single time it aired.
Yeah.
But it was during the time I was overseas in a different time, completely different time.
Yeah.
So I just didn't watch
this a lot was
of
early
TV.
90s.
Yeah.
This was early 90s. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's out there, man. And, you know, I know it's available on Blu-ray and on DVD and all that stuff. And I think that HBO has it archived on the on-demand. And I would highly recommend if people have not seen Larry Sanders, it's brilliant. Really, really brilliant. All right. Let's see. All right. Now, here's, you know, who's my favorite ever, I think? I mean, besides Letterman, but like Craig Ferguson. I adored Craig Ferguson. And people who are regular listeners to the show know that I actually kind of became a part of the show.
Yeah, Fergie put you in the band, right?
He did. Actually, he didn't. It was Josh Robert Thompson, Jeffrey Peterson, the robot skeleton gay sidekick. But yeah, he named the drummer in the band Nikki D. And I wrote emails, and they read like five or six of my emails on the show. So I was part of the email and tweet part of the show a bunch of times. And then Nikki D was the drummer named after me. Now, the reason I love Ferguson so much is that he just, you know, he basically threw the rules out the window, like literally, you know, like every time a guest came on, you know, how the talk show guys have like those blue cards.
Oh, yeah.
In front of them that have all the questions and where they're going to go. And he had, you know, it's funny because Ferguson did have a staff who wrote those questions, but he never used them. Like every time a guest came out, he symbolically tore up those blue cards into pieces and threw them over his shoulder.
I remember him ripping up the cards. I always wondered if it was a bit, like, was there anything on there? But people actually prepped him, and he still
absolutely
tore them up.
Right, and he still tore them up. He had a writing staff. And, tore up those cards and then just winged it. And that was one of the brilliant things about that show, is that it really turned the cliches of your late night talk show on its ears. Obviously the gay robot sidekick is fantastic. Josh Robert Thompson, providing the voice of Jeffrey Peterson. And, just no rules. His monologue, he had a monologue. And again, this is like a staff of writers writing the monologue. And he does maybe two or three jokes that were written for him. And then the rest of it is just him winging it. I've had Josh Robert Thompson on the show a couple of times. And also my future ex-wife, Dana DiLorenzo.
Oh, did she work there?
She was on that show. She played Beth, the CBS executive.
That's right.
Who would try and stop the controversial stuff or the stuff that he couldn't get away with censor-wise. And she was on the show for a long time. She also did the voice of the Rhino one night. But I've talked to Dana, my future ex-wife, Dana DiLorenzo, about what it was like to work on that show. And she said it was completely improvised. Like, whatever bits that they were doing, they didn't rehearse them. They just did it right on the air. And when she did the Rhino, the voice of the Rhino, they just said, here, you're going to do the voice of the Rhino tonight. Just go ahead and do it. And she had the same sort of gear that that Josh Robert Thompson had operating Jeff Peterson. He had like the remote and everything, and she had to do the remote. And so they didn't prep her. They're like, yeah, you're going to do the Rhino tonight. And she's like, what? But that's the way that show was, man. I mean, it threw the rules out the window. And he was brilliant. I mean, he was absolutely brilliant. And it was so much fun to watch, and it was so fresh. I just, Ferguson is way up there on my heroes list. I love that guy. Let's see. When Johnny Carson died, Ferguson had been hosting The Late Late Show for less than 3 weeks. He was already working without a house band, and then he decided to do away with the other talk show conventions. Most important, no prepared monologue, no staged questions with the guests. Later, motivated by what he called a deconstructionist contempt for talk shows, he introduced his sidekick, Jeff, a gay robot with a mohawk. From 2005 until a couple of years ago, Ferguson was the best host on late-night TV through a mix of intelligence, honesty, swagger, and wit. If late night is a club, I don't want to be a member, he said. A Scottish-born comedian picked by Peter Lassily, the TV legend who produced Carson and Letterman, Ferguson fostered anarchy, flirted joyfully with actresses, impersonated Sean Connery, played harmonica, and had memorable serious moments, a lengthy interview with Bishop Desmond Tutu, a poignant eulogy for his parents, and a discussion of his alcoholism, and a pledge not to make hack jokes about celebrities in legal trouble. Because comedy should attack the powerful and not the vulnerable. One of the most memorable moments and monologues that Ferguson had was when Britney Spears was going through that time when she was like, she kind of lost her mind. She shaved her head. Yeah, and she was attacking reporters and all that stuff. And Ferguson came out. It's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life. Ferguson came out and said that, we're not going to do any Britney Spears jokes. We're not going to do them. And he said, because she's in trouble. She's got, and at that time she had babies. And he's like, we're not going to do that. I'm not going to do any Britney Spears jokes. And then he launched into this searingly honest, absolutely beautiful speech about his alcoholism. And at that point, he had been sober for 15 years at that point. He talked about how on Christmas morning, 1991, he was at a pub. And in regular fashion, it was Christmas Eve. He wakes up on Christmas morning and he's in, he's completely still drunk and he's covered in urine. And as he said, I don't know if it was my urine, could have been anybody's urine. But he talks about how when he woke up that morning, he's like, that's it, I'm going to kill myself. And about how he was going to jump off the London Bridge and kill himself. And so he went downstairs. He was staying up in the room upstairs above the pub. And he went downstairs. He was about to walk out. And the bartender who, like, ran the pub, he slept behind the bar, too. So it's not... He's like, I can't speak for his alcoholism, but if you're sleeping behind a bar on Christmas Eve, you might have a problem. So he's he tells the guy who's running the place, he's like, yeah, I'm gonna go back home. I'm gonna go back home. So because he was in England, he's like, I'm gonna go back home to Scotland. He's like, you can't go back. It's Christmas morning. There's no transportation. You won't be able to get back. Why don't you come back in here and have a sherry for Christmas morning? So. You know, in Ferguson's mind, he's going to kill himself. Like, this is it. He's definitely going to kill himself. So he sits down. He has a sherry, which turns into a lot of sherries. And he ended up forgetting to kill himself. And then, you know, a few more months went by. He doesn't remember much. You know, he jumped back into being an alcoholic. And apparently he was doing stand-up gigs. He's like, I don't remember them, and I bet they weren't good. And then in February, he reached out to a friend who had gotten sober and said, yeah, I need help. And then he got sober, and it was a struggle for him every day. But for him to tell this deeply intimate, you know, story to show, you know, support for somebody like Britney Spears, it's one of the most honest and amazing things I've ever seen on late night television. And it endeared him to me even more. And he was a real inspiration for me when I quit drinking. Like, and that speech itself, you know, I mean, it's a struggle. It's not easy. Every day it's hard, you know, to not drink. And sometimes it's worse than others. You know, sometimes it's okay. Sometimes it's not. It's tough, man. It's really, really, really hard, especially the amount of booze I was drinking at the time. But he was a huge inspiration. And I, you know, and personally, that moment that story that he told really affected me. And I go back, and every once in a while I watch it just for inspiration. Like, if things get tough, sometimes I go to YouTube and I watch that. So Ferguson, one of my favorites, maybe my favorite besides, you know, I mean, obviously Letterman is the king and Johnny Carson, you know, but personally, on a personal note, Ferguson made a huge impact on me. Not just because he was hilarious. His show was hilarious and everything. Not just because my future ex-wife, Dana DiLorenzo, was on the show, but because he was the man. He's the man. You ever see him stand up? You ever see him do stand up?
I don't think I've ever seen him do stand up. I don't know if he still has the radio show on.
He does. Sirius, he's got the Sirius show.
Yeah, I've listened to that.
I don't get to hear it as much as I'd like to. But he just toured like a couple of months ago. He came through town. He played the Chicago Theater. I've seen him twice. Me and Decker went twice.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he's hilarious. I mean, he's like, his stand up is brilliant. He's got two Netflix specials. And again, you know, like I was just saying about his incredible honesty about like his personal life and his alcoholism, that creeps into his stand up too. Like, the guy can't. The thing about Ferguson is I think he's incapable of lying. You know what I mean? I think he's incapable of BSing, and that's one of the things that a lot of talk show hosts do.
That's,
you know what
the
I mean?
Thing. Yeah,
they're full of crap. And here's this guy Craig Ferguson is like, no, I'm going to lay it all on the line, and we're going to do whatever we want with this show. And it was brilliant. It was brilliant. So
yeah, you could tell, and I think most audiences can tell when someone's being genuine. And that's,
yeah,
for Fergie always had that for me.
Absolutely. No question about it. All right, let's take a break here. And I want to hear from you guys at 312-981-7200. We're talking about TV talk show hosts and who are the great ones. They don't necessarily have to be the late night ones either. We got some phone lines open, and we got some texts coming in. 312-981-7200. All right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text, and we're talking about the best talk show hosts ever. And we would love to hear from you. Where do you stand on this? 312-981-7200. So we've got this list here from it's Vulture.com put this list together. And it covers everybody. And they even include, now, you're probably too young, Dan, but do you remember Morton Downey Jr.?
He was before my time, but I, like, just from catching up on pop culture stuff, I'm familiar with his work.
He was massively popular in the late 80s. He's included here, Morton Downey Jr. He was a lunatic. He was just a raving, screaming maniac who would nonstop smoke and have, you know, like the real confrontational, you know, stuff with the guests screaming at each other and all that nonsense, which was really popular in the late 80s because, you know, Geraldo Rivero got his nose busted by a bunch of on the show by a bunch of skinheads. He had skinheads on, and so he smashed him in the face with a chair and broke his nose. So that was at a time, like in the late 80s, that was the thing. Like, you got Morton Downey Jr. being confrontational and screaming, and then the, you know, the talk shows during the daytime were getting sleazier and sleazier. And then it eventually like calmed down. But even Oprah was doing stuff like that. Even, I mean, not quite as sleazy as Morton Downey Jr., she was doing a lot of risque stuff back then, you know, because that was the thing. That's what people were watching. They were watching that, you know, real sort of like controversial, confrontational stuff. And even Oprah was doing it. But nobody was crazier at it than Morton Downey Jr.
He took it to like 11.
Man, oh, man. I mean, yeah. And the audiences would go nuts. They would chant his name and. It was a little weird, actually. A little weird and kind of scary.
Didn't he feud with Rowdy Roddy Piper at one point?
Did he? Yeah, maybe he did. I know he feuded with a lot of people. It says, I never did sleaze, Morton Downey Jr. boasted, which is believable only if you think violence, hooliganism, misogyny, race baiting aren't sleazy. Downey, who was born to a wealthy family, had a knockabout career. He was a singer of a top 40 DJ, a political lobbyist, before he started the Morton Downey Jr. show at age 55 in 1987 in October. He mixed his conservative politics with titillation and the outrageous showmanship of pro wrestling. He rapidly became a national phenomenon, beloved by angry working class whites and loathed by everybody else. It was the show went national, guests backed out, then the TV stations did, in desperation, a chain-smoking philanderer and a habitual liar. He drew a swastika on his own forehead and claimed that he was assaulted by skinheads. No, do you remember that, Dan?
No.
No, that's a real thing, man. You can go back and look that up. No one believed his pathetic ploy. Advertisers fled, ratings fell, and his show was canceled. He was in an airport bathroom. They found him and he had a swastika and like part of his head was shaved, but he did it himself.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's one way to lose a gig.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, Morton Downey Jr. Then bringing back some 80s memories. All right, let's take a break here. The news is up next. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. We're talking about great talk show hosts. And if you want to jump in, either talk or text, it's 312-981-7200. And we've been going back and forth on some of these great talk show hosts. Let's see. Let's say, how about Joan Rivers? Joan Rivers was, it seemed like she was going to be she was like the replacement for Johnny Carson. She filled in all the time on Carson's show, and then they had a falling out. Joan Rivers, before she spit-roasted celebrity fashion don'ts or shamelessly harangued pompous actors on award show Red Carpets, the late Joan Rivers was a fearless, pioneering stand-up comedian whose showbiz breakthrough came, as it did for many comics, via Johnny Carson. Rivers first appeared on The Tonight Show in 1965. Throughout the 70s and 80s, she regularly sat in for a vacationing Johnny before being promoted by the famously volatile Carson as an official guest host in 1983. Rivers' stand-up tagline was, "Can we talk?" And she was an enthusiastic interviewer with a big New York yap, happy to play the fool to make her guests look the best, their best. In 1986... when Fox Network gave her The Late Show with Joan Rivers, competing directly against Carson after NBC failed to consider her a suitable successor for him, Rivers became the first female late-night talk show host. But with low ratings and a strained relationship between Rivers and Fox executives over the show's eccentric direction, she was fired after just 1 year. Arsenio Hall would take over her role after a string of zany guest hosts. From 1989 to 1993, Rivers would try her hand at daytime hosting. Meanwhile, Carson never spoke to Rivers again, a knife plunged that haunted her for the rest of her life. When her husband Edgar committed suicide in 1987, Carson did not contact her. It was like Stalin had me sent to Siberia, she told people. Despite Rivers breaking the glass ceiling nearly 30 years ago, late-night TV remains as much of a boy club as it was during Carson's martinis and strip steak prime. And Rivers remains the only woman ever to host a network late-night talk show. Yeah, it was really sad what happened between the two of them, but between Carson and Joan Rivers. And it really broke Joan Rivers' heart, too. So that's just too bad. That was really Brad. She was great, though. I love Joan Rivers. I think Joan Rivers was great. How about Larry King? King's great strength. He wasn't very smart with his clogged nose, Brooklyn accent, neck-chafing red suspenders, and eight marriages. He was easy to mock. At times, he seemed to be broadcasting from the activities room at Shady Pines Restaurant retirement home. He once confused Ringo Starr, who was sitting near him, with George Harrison, who was dead. I didn't know that. King joined CNN in 1985 when it was a sketchy startup, and as he became the biggest star on cable TV, he helped raise the network to prominence. He interviewed everyone, including eight presidents, and unlike Charlie Rose, who strives to demonstrate how insightful he is, King kept it simple. Short, clear questions. Before he retired from Larry King Live in 2010, he said, "The greatest question an interviewer could ask is why." Many began to appreciate King only after they got to know his wretched replacement, Piers Morgan. Mm-hmm. Good old Larry. Larry King Live. how about Regis and Kathy Lee? What do TV viewers want with their morning coffee and Danish after the kids have been packed off to school? Not social commentary or politics or jokes. Even the conventional wisdom goes, they, homemakers, supposedly want chit-chat, mindless, good-natured husband and wife over the breakfast table back and forth. For 12 years, no one did it with less mild or more good nature than gruff teddy bear Regis Philbin and tightly wound mama bear Kathy Lee Gifford. Regis, who served as a Rat Pack jester, Joey Bishop's sidekick, on a short-lived talk show in the 60s, had been co-hosting the version of the AM franchise since 1975, but it wasn't until Kathy Lee joined him in 88 that the show was renamed Live with Regis and Kathy Lee, and it became a morning TV bedrock. During her tenure, Gifford bravely grimaced through one tabloid scandal after another. Hubby Frank was caught having an affair. She was charged with using sweatshop labor to manufacture her Walmart clothing line and earned the sympathy of female viewers' audience from the family. The opening 15 minutes of Live, just Reed and Kathy Lee shooting the breeze about what they did last night with their families, with celebrity foibles, deserved forgiveness. It really grinded their gears, which was flawless morning TV. So, yeah. And now it's, what is it now? It's Kelly and what's his face? Seacrest.
Yeah, the guy who's got every other broadcasting job.
Rion Seacrest. As the substitute teacher in the Key and Peele. You about as Spanish as Rion Seacrest. Here is Judy in Milwaukee on WGN. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Nick. Hi. How are you?
All right, what's up?
Do you remember, I mean, now this goes way back before you were even born, Mike Douglas?
Oh, that wasn't before. That wasn't before I was born. Trust me, Judy.
Okay. All right, I getcha. But he had the weekly show, and then he would have a co-host a week, and then he'd have other good guests on. He was great.
Yeah,
Mike. But he used to let them talk.
Yeah, well, Mike Douglas had the unique thing. We talked about this when we were talking about talk shows a couple of weeks ago. The unique thing about Mike Douglas was that what you just said, he would have a co-host for the entire week. So he would have he would have somebody be with him on stage for the entire week. Nobody else did that. Nobody else did that. And he sang, and he was a showman, and all that stuff.
Oh, he was great.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a good performer.
Yeah, he was.
Well, have a good night, okay?
Okay, thanks, Judy. Yeah, Mike Douglas. Here's what they say about Mike Douglas. He always understood the appeal of his show. I'm a square, Douglas said. For 20 years, his low-pulse afternoon show comforted housewives and shut-ins with occasional surprises. Douglas was a 1950s crooner whose semi-successful music career dwindled when rock and roll emerged. He was on the verge of becoming a real estate broker before he was hired to host the tellingly titled Chicago talk show, Hi, Ladies! Affable and somewhat handsome, he was a reassuring relic of the middle American values. Roger Ailes, who was the devious Fox News president, was the executive producer for Douglas at the time. Douglas is now remembered chiefly for a week of shows in 1972, when John Lennon and Yoko Ono determined to make radical politics less scary to middle America, co-hosted with him and brought in such guests as Bobby Seale of the Black Panthers and anti-war activist Jerry Rubin, whom Douglas denounced, "My feelings are quite negative about this young man," on the air. "I don't think the Mike Douglas show will ever be the same," Rubin declared, and he was wrong. Mike's next co-hosts were Johnny Mathis and Eva Gabor. I didn't know that little piece of trivia. Let's see. Here is Linda on WGN. Hi, Linda.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
This is before you guys were even a twinkle in the eye. Joy Bishop,
yep.
Steve Allen, and Merv Griffin.
Yeah, well, Merv Griffin, you know, I watched a lot of Merv Griffin when I was a kid, sure. Joey Bishop, his sidekick was Regis. Regis was his sidekick.
Starting out,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing about it is that Steve Allen is, as I mentioned before, he really is, you know, sort of the innovator who came up with a ton of stuff that late-night shows are still doing. Like, and he did them first. Like, Steve Allen was an innovator who created things that nobody had seen before, and now they're staples in late night.
And he was from Chicago in the Hyde Park area.
Yeah. Steve Allen.
He grew
classic.
Up. Yeah.
Classic. Yep. All right, Linda, thank you.
Sure. Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Hey, Merv Griffin. You familiar with Merv Griffin?
I know Kramer found his set.
Well, Kramer, yeah. Classic episode of Seinfeld with Merv Griffin's set in Kramer's apartment. We're talking this way. No, but Merv Griffin, you know, was one of these guys. He was on for, you know, he was on for a long time, Merv Griffin. And yeah, his set was taken by Kramer. But you know, he was on for, you know, Merv Griffin was on for a really long time, and he had a lot of celebrities and stuff. You're familiar obviously with SCTV.
Yeah.
Okay. Was it Dave Thomas who did Merv Griffin, or was it Rick Moranis who did the Merv Griffin impression, and it was hilarious? I think it might have been Rick Moranis. I think it may have been Rick Moranis. Who did the Merv Griffin?
Yeah, it was Moranis.
Yeah, it was Moranis. Legendary. You know, it was completely exaggerated, like most of the imitations on SCTV, but exaggerated, but really close. Even though it was very, very exaggerated, it was really pretty close to the real Merv Griffin. But yeah, he was a very popular guy, Merv Griffin. Also, the guy created Jeopardy. He created Jeopardy. Or his wife did, I should say. His wife did. And Wheel of Fortune. Those are still Merv Griffin productions.
Huh.
Those two shows are, you know, on daily. They're highly rated. They've been on for multiple years. And those were Merv Griffin productions. So, yeah, Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. All right. Let's take a quick break here. And then we'll wrap this up. And then I got some other stuff that we're going to talk about here. Some holiday things that we're going to jump into and all that. But if you want to jump in for the talk show host, we would love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. We got a break here for weather. And let's see. Here's your forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center today. Chilly, plenty of sunshine, seasonably cool. High temps would reach the mid to upper 30s. For tonight, not as cold overnight. Lows mainly in the 20s. For tomorrow, partly sunny, a high of 36. Wednesday, partly cloudy, chance of snow, rain, or mix during the late afternoon and evening, and a high of 38. Thursday, partly cloudy, and a high of 41. It is currently 17 degrees at O'Hare. It's 19 at Midway, 23 at the lakefront. All right, let's take a break here. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the talk show hosts. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we've been talking about talk show hosts And who are the great ones? Who are some of your favorites? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here is Barbara, who's in Lincolnwood. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Nick. Did anyone mention the Jerry Lester show, which I think is, I think he's supposed to be like the very first late show co-host.
Mm.
And it was the first time I ever saw Barbara Streisand. I hadn't never heard or even saw her.
And then you saw her on that show, yeah.
He was on that show.
Yeah. But there was a
I think he was a Chicago guy.
I think you're right. That was a little bit before my time, but I do remember. I do remember the name.
I really remember seeing her. It was phenomenal.
Absolutely.
But,
okay.
I think he was the first one.
Okay. All right, Barbara, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, take care. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You know, Jerry Lewis had a talk show. He spent, he actually, before Johnny Carson got the Tonight Show, he filled in. Jerry Lewis did, like, this was when the Tonight Show was in New York. Jerry Lewis did, like, 2 weeks of the Tonight Show. And then, you know, they gave him his own talk show. He had two talk shows. One like right after that segment, neither of them were very successful. But then there was one in the 70s with Jerry Lewis was the host and Charlie Callis was his sidekick. Now, I know you probably don't know who Charlie Callis is.
No.
He's a stand-up comedian who made wacky faces. That was, he was in weird sound effects. He'd be like, blah, blah, blah. He would do that kind of stuff. That was Charlie Callis.
Oh, you know, I might know who this guy is.
He used to do Hollywood Squares and all that stuff. He would appear on the talk shows, and he was Jerry Lewis's sidekick for this. And I want to say it was on. Geez, I want to say it might have been on Fox or like Channel 32 or something, because there was no Fox in the 70s that didn't start to. But I want to say that the Jerry Lewis thing, the fiasco with Charlie Callis, and it takes a lot for me to diss Jerry Lewis because he's one of my heroes, but the show was not good. It was not good.
Speaking of Jerry Lewis, is Jerry Langford on the list?
Jerry Langford is not. How could that not be? How could they not have Jerry Langford on the list? Jerry Langford, by the way, for people who don't know, is the character that Jerry Lewis plays in King of Comedy, which is a phenomenal movie. Scorsese. I remember when that movie came out, man. It tanked. Like, it tanked. People hated it. They didn't know what to make of it. You know, because I think people thought, all right, Jerry Lewis is in it. It's a comedy.
Right.
It's going to be funny. And although it is funny, it's a black comedy. There's a lot of funny stuff in that movie, but it's a pretty disturbing movie.
It's kind of off-brand for Jerry Lewis, definitely, but even for what Scorsese and De Niro were doing.
Yeah. Although, I think King of Comedy is a really good companion piece to Taxi Driver. I really do think thematically they're very, very similar.
Yeah,
but it's an uncomfortable movie to watch. King of Comedy, I love it. And I think I think everybody's great in it. Sandra Bernhardt, come on now, she's awesome. But that scene where he and Diane Abbott show up uninvited to his house, to Jerry Langford's house. Oh my God! I mean, that's like really skin-crawlingly uncomfortable to watch that whole scene. But yeah, Jerry Langford, man, needs to be acknowledged. Okay, we got a bunch of texts coming in here. 312-981-7200. 920 area code says Graham Norton on BBC America is amazing in the way he gets his guests to relate some pretty funny stories. Tom Snyder was a great talk show host also. That's from Kathy. Yeah, Graham Norton's great. I love Graham Norton. I think he's fantastic. Very entertaining guy. 630 area code says Larry Sanders Show is the best. The Weed Whacker commercial and Jim Carrey. Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about Larry Sanders a little bit earlier, man. That's a great show. 773 area code says Arsenio Hall was a great talk show host. He was huge. Very, very popular. I was talking to him a little bit earlier. We were talking about that last week when he really captured the young people. Like, you know, as Johnny Carson was, you know, getting older, his, you know, taking a lot of time off, his ratings were skewing much older, much, much older. And then Arsenio Hall came in and got the young people. 630 area code says, I actually miss David Letterman and I never thought I would, but compared to what we have now, he looks quite good. I think we've got some really good shows on now. I think Colbert is great. I think Stephen Colbert is great. I think Kimmel is really great. Seth Meyers is terrific. Yeah, and I mean, I like the Daily Show with Trevor Noah. I think Trevor Noah is great. Not a giant Fallon guy. You know, if you want to watch something silly and goofy, that's it. But you know, like tackling what's going on politically, guys like Trevor Noah and Seth Meyers and Colbert are doing it, knocking it out of the park. I think there's a lot of strong TV talk shows right now. With I think Colbert like right near the top, and I love Trevor Noah. I don't think Trevor Noah gets the credit he deserves. And I know he had big shoes to fill. You know what I mean? Like you're going to replace Jon Stewart, you know, and nobody's ever gonna you know, if you're a big fan of Jon Stewart, and so many people are, if you're a massive fan of Jon Stewart and The Daily Show, then you know that's a big hurdle for Trevor Noah.
Yeah, he's got a bigger crowd to contend with now. I mean, yeah. Stewart was the only game in town on cable.
Yeah.
When he was at his peak.
Yeah, yeah. Now you know there's competition all over the place. But I think I think Trevor Noah's great. I just think he's hilarious and very funny. And last week was really a lot of fun. Do you watch The Daily Show?
I don't. I don't keep up with it as much.
Last week, he had gone back home to South Africa to host an event, and he lost his voice and he couldn't talk. So. He did last week of shows with the correspondent sitting next to him speaking for him. It was hilarious. It was hilarious. And he had like a different correspondent next to him, and then he brought an Alexa thing so that it could talk for him. It was really hilarious. And I, you know, but he said that the doctor said you can't talk, you know, you might risk like having to have surgery or something. So clearly he's not going to talk, but he still wanted to do the show. So he had, like, his correspondent sitting next to him.
So that's the sort of thing, if you did it 10 years ago in the late-night landscape, it would have been huge.
Yeah.
But it feels like more stuff is getting lost in the shuffle.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And it was great. The whole thing was, you know, that the whole week was really terrific. 217 area code says, my favorite late-night talk show host was Steve Allen. Yeah, he was the best. The innovator. He had the cast of characters who were called the man on the street. That included Don Knotts, Bill Dana, Tom Post, and Louie Nye. One minor bit that he did was throwing a card through the window behind him, which would subsequently make a crashing noise. Letterman used that same bit. That's Peter in Decatur. Yeah, he did it with pencils. Letterman did it with pencils. He'd throw the pencil and then the glass would break. 608 area code says, Craig's show from his shed is awesome. Oh, man. 562 area code says, Wally George was on TV here in Southern California beginning in 1983 on KDOC TV and had an audience chanting his name, fights with guests and other elements stolen by Morton Downey later in the decade. I don't think people have ever heard of Wally, but he deserves a mention. There are highlights of Wally on, you know, if I'm not mistaken, you might want to look this up. I think Wally George is Rebecca De Mornay's father. Or somebody who did, you know what, maybe it wasn't Wally George, but I think someone who did that sort of confrontational TV stuff is Rebecca De Mornay's dad.
Yeah, it's Wally George.
It is Wally George.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird, man? 414 area code. I might be the only one, but I think Alec Baldwin and William Shatner are great in-depth interviewers. They don't just ask questions. They have a conversation. Alec Baldwin's show is good. His NBC show, the hour-long talk show?
Yeah, I've heard good reviews on that.
It's just him one-on-one. You know, it's like one guest. You know, sometimes there are two, but they're not on at the same time. So you'll do a half an hour with one guest and a half an hour with another. Sometimes it's just a full hour with one person.
Because it was initially they had him doing something he didn't want to do, right? And then they,
yeah.
With MSNBC, they kind of relaxed the format a
yeah.
little bit.
And there's no audience. There's no studio audience. I like it. I think it's good. 630 area code said Bonnie Hunt and Anderson Cooper. Bonnie Hunt's great, and she's local.
Yeah, I forgot she had a talk show.
Yeah. 815 area code, is the Howard Stern e-show considered a talk show? It's been on the list. If so, it has to be on the list. Great entertainment that will never be duplicated. He's number one on this list. Howard Stern, according to this list, is number one.
I believe it.
I mean, you know, he does get people to say stuff that you normally wouldn't say. You know what I mean? Like, he's capable of getting celebrities to say some really embarrassing and weird things.
He's still a great interviewer.
Yeah, he is. Howard Stern's a great interviewer. There's no question about it. 301 area code says, I liked Bob Costas' short-lived late-night show. 630 area code, Phil Donahue, another Chicago. 414, does anybody remember the nightclub comedian Woody Woodbury? He was on Channel 9 in the afternoon in the late 60s, late night in Chicago, the Cromie Circle in Channel 9 in the 70s. I think he had a circular couch. Also, Cup Show has to go on as long as they have something to talk about.
Yes.
Cup. Good old Irving Cupincent. Cups in it. All right. Let's take a break here. We got the news coming up right after this on WGN.